They say necessity is the mother of all invention. Well, let's apply that thought process to the world of higher education. We're thinking about change. We're talking about change. The pandemic has just occurred, and we're all thinking, do we even have the resources to get there? But wait a second, there's too many students that we have to serve. Maybe we should just stay on this conservative path. Well, staying on a conservative path is not necessarily going to get us there. We have to think big. We have to be creative. And necessity has to be the mother of new invention. I'm Hector H. Lopez. Today on the FutureX podcast, we welcome higher ed changemaker, Chancellor Stephen Gonzalez of Maricopa County Community College, to the very first of a series of discussions where we tackle how do you get there in a world with limited resources and many students to serve. If there's anyone who can discuss this, it's Chancellor Gonzalez, as he serves over 200,000 at his colleges. There is no doubt that community colleges have a unique insight into the future of higher education. Let's jump into the first part of the discussion with Matt Alex.
I'm really excited to have Dr. Gonzalez here. He leads 10 colleges in Arizona and is serving 200,000 students. Just to put that in context, the largest universities are serving around 53,000 to 55,000 in terms of your institutions like Ohio State and University of Texas. They're in the high 40,000s or low 50s. Dr. Gonzalez's institution is serving 200,000. So the amount of impact they're making is incredible. So today we are going to be speaking to him, and I got to get to know him about a year ago after I did a keynote speech around the future of higher ed. And he was one of the presidents and chancellors in the audience, and he reached out to me and said, you know, everything you're talking about is what I believe that we should be really focused on in my campus. And he and I have just built a relationship where we are just able to talk about the future of education, the future of higher ed. And the fact that he is leading these 10 campuses is a really important impact to his community as well as for higher ed. So today we're going to be speaking about what the role of higher ed is to the market. You know, what is the role of Maricopa to that market? We're also going to, you know, reach and talk into what is the pandemic and how has that impacted and what has that taught us as we move forward? And then others have chimed in terms of, you know, what is the future models of education? You know, is it online? Is it polysynchronous? And have discussions like that. And I also want to talk about how does an organization like Maricopa unite and bring consensus together around, you know, one Maricopa so that you are pushing towards the same goals and driving towards the impact that you really need to make. So we're really excited about all the topics we're going to be talking about. I have our usual suspects as our moderators. We have Hector and Christine and Dr. Givens here, who usually help me and lead these conversations much more than I. So I'm really excited to have them here. I'm going to stop and just give you a little bit of insight about Dr. Gonzalez. Dr. Gonzalez is a graduate of Northern Arizona University, and he also got his bachelor's there, but then he also went to University of Texas, Austin, and got his PhD. When I think of Dr. Gonzalez, the words that I would use is he's humble, he's soft-spoken, he is an advocate. He's driven by empathy. And the reason that I know this is when I'm talking to him about his campus, he always talks about everyone else he's serving and what they need in their market and what do they need at their campuses. He is not institution-centric. He is human-centric. And it's something that I think when you listen to him, you'll start to recognize that. So let me stop there. Let me invite Dr. Gonzalez to just maybe tell us a little bit about who you are and What drove you into higher ed?
I'm honored to be able to do this. And this is a really interesting platform for me. And if it's, you know, screaming what the future might be about, it makes it even all the more exciting for me. So, people often ask me that question, did I ever think I was going to be a college president or a chancellor of one of the largest community college systems in a country? And my response to that is always no. All through high school, I used to say I wanted to be a civil engineer and work on the design of bridges, dams, and airports and things like that. And but life has got a way of presenting opportunities that you just hadn't thought about. And so I changed from an engineering major to a pure mathematics major. And I felt at that time, this would have been in the early 90s, that they were attempting to convert me into a computer scientist. And not that I have anything against computer scientists, but it wasn't for me. And so I then began to really consider math education, and that's where I started. After teaching a couple years of high school mathematics at the high school that I graduated from, I'd also came to the conclusion that that wasn't something that I could do as long as my favorite math teacher and mentor had done. He had been in the classroom for nearly 40 years, and I had to think about what was going to be my next step. And I grew up about 10 miles from our local community college, and I always thought that it would be really nice to be out there teaching at that level, working with that population of students. And that's kind of how that journey started. The person who hired me out there shared early on that I probably would be asked to do many things beyond teaching, and that I would really have opportunities that maybe others might not. Maybe he saw something in me that I still hadn't realized and seen at that point. But, you know, through a lot of hard work and through some sacrifices for sure, some great mentors, continuing my own education, and then just, you know, doing the job with sincere passion and integrity. It's funny how these opportunities have come open. Many of the jobs I've had, I didn't have to apply for. I was put into the role, and others, when I have applied, I've been successful. But here I sit again at the top of this organization. Never thought 8 years ago when I took the presidency at Gateway that I might be sitting in this office running this really large organization. But once I arrive, and I always appreciate the challenge that it presents, and I feel that I've been prepared through the experience and education that I've had. And of course, I've learned a lot through many mistakes I've made along the way, because none of us are perfect in the jobs that we do.
Chancellor Gonzalez, it's really refreshing to hear you give a little bit about your background and how you felt coming up in terms of whether or not you were going to end up here in the position that you're in today. And you find yourself in this position at a particular moment in time where there is vast change going on in the world of higher education. There have been a lot of conversations, particularly recently post-pandemic, about where higher education stands today and what it must do to better serve our future. And, you know, it's a very broad question, because the future could include, you know, the demographics we're now serving. The future could include different technological resources to serve that future. We can go on and on. As you look at things from your position as a chancellor in a two-year system, how do you see the future role of higher education? What do you see are the major pieces that you're consistently looking at in terms of your North Star when it comes to the future and innovation?
That's a pretty big question. And that's certainly something that's constantly on my mind as the leader of this organization, is how do we move forward? I sat in on a presentation that was done by, I think it was the Institute for the Future out of California. And one of the things that stuck with me in that presentation is that if you pay attention, the future will send signals to where we currently are and what you should be thinking about doing. And in that particular conversation, it had to do with the future of work and artificial intelligence and automation. And so I since that presentation, I try to sit in this role that I'm in and look for the signals that the future is sending us today in higher ed. Well, that was a pre-pandemic thought. And I want to couple that with this adage that I think that we've all heard many times, in that, how does it go? That necessity is the mother of invention. And we all knew here in Maricopa that we needed to change our ways, in the ways that we deliver education, the ways that we work, the ways that we serve our communities. We all knew we needed to change, but there wasn't either the gumption to do it, the knowledge, the path to do it. And some had used our size as an excuse to say, Maricopa is too big to move. You know, it's the carrier out in the ocean that needs miles and miles to pivot its direction. But the pandemic changed that immediately. And by the way, I came into this role on January 25th of 2020. I had about 5 or 6 weeks of it being the normal job that it was, and then we pretty much hadn't returned since spring break of 2020. That was the necessity for us to drive some of the innovation that we're seeing today. Suddenly, professors were faced with having to move from teaching face-to-face to online. Some were adept at doing that. Some had never ever done that. Some had never even adopted our course management learning systems that we use, had refused to do it for whatever reason. But suddenly they were forced to do it. So we had to figure it out very, very quickly. And the other thing that this pandemic has really shown a line on for us is our role and responsibility in this community to continue to not only be the largest developer of workforce and to help drive the economy, but we need to lead that, because much of what it's going to take to return from the pandemic, to help elevate this economy, to get people back to work in jobs that are paying beyond the minimum wage. The community college system here in the state of Arizona, and for that matter across the country, is going to need to be the sector in higher education that drives that recovery. And I'm not going to say that universities don't play a role, or you know, liberal colleges and other colleges don't play a role. They certainly do. But if we're looking to do this in a hurry, we're going to need to be the ones to drive that change quickly.
How in particular is Maricopa doing this? How are you looking at things in terms of where to go to affect these changes, if that's where the institution is going? Is there particular technologies? Are there particular models that you're considering in terms of tangible roadmap to where others could look, places that you're looking right now? What would they be?
Let me also give you a little bit more context about Maricopa. Maricopa Community College District is certainly the largest in the state, followed by Pima Community College District, which is located in Pima County, and Tucson is the hub for that county. We're two counties, we're two community college systems in a state that receive zero funding from our state. They find other ways to give it to us, but we can't count on our state to provide that regular allotment. So we've, again, the mother of invention has been the necessity, in that is that the lack of state funding means that we've got to get creative in how we find ways to support this institution. Our primary legs of resources for the for our organization are property tax and tuition. And so the pandemic has been extremely difficult on us, because we've experienced a 15% decrease in enrollment, which means that we've seen probably up to a 3% reduction in revenue as a result of the loss of that enrollment. So the model that I would suggest, and the one that we're finding success with, is to look for industry partners. If we're going to change workforce, then we need to partner with those to where our graduates are going to go into, either while they're working, while they're in school, or shortly thereafter, and go into the workforce. We've partnered with large and small companies. Last year, one of the major partnerships that was announced was with Intel to start the first associate's degree and certificate in artificial intelligence. So our faculty worked closely with our engineers to develop a curriculum. And this past spring, we had our first cohort move through that, and it's successful. Now, Intel is a worldwide company, and I think everybody in this call probably knows who Intel is and what they do. And you may even have a computer with that was partially built by Intel. And so that's one example. And then we also do it at a small level. I've worked with a company here, for example, that probably has 300 employees and employs 50 to 100 machinists. And, you know, they win contracts through the federal government, or they win subcontracts from places like Intel to manufacture components that an Intel might need. So that's another way that we do it. But we've come to the realization that we're not going to be able to do this entirely on our own. I'm not so sure that that partnering with corporations and large and small organizations is considered to be innovative, but there is some innovation involved in how we approach that and, you know, the outcomes of those sort of partnerships.
On January of 2020, Dr. Stephen R. Gonzalez assumed the role of interim chancellor for the Maricopa County Community College District, one of the largest community college systems in the nation, serving nearly 200,000 students with the support of 10,000 faculty and staff across 10 colleges. He has nearly 25 years of instructional and administrative experience in higher education. He served as the 8th president of Gateway Community College, one of the 10 Maricopa Community Colleges. Dr. Gonzalez has served on the National Community College Hispanic Council as an executive board member, the Community College Survey of Student Engagement as a member of the Board of Directors, the Hispanic Association of Colleges and Universities, the National Institute of Staff and Organizational Development, and the Arizona Post-Secondary Education Board of Commissioners. He has recently published an article in the New Directions for Community Colleges Journal. This episode was recorded live on Clubhouse. Check us out at the Future X Tribe. It was produced by the Future X Tribe, Beyond Academics, and BNext Global. Executive Director and Chief Moderator, Matt Alex. Edited by BNext Global Media. Our music is by David Cutter. I'm Hector H. Lopez. We'll see you next time as we continue our discussions with the higher ed changemakers on the FutureX podcast.